It wasn't the fear that something was going to happen, because nothing ever happened. Rather, it was the fear that if nothing kept on happening, something was going to happen. The fear. Nobody ever talked about the fear, least of all Derek Christian. The fear was everywhere. It was in the air that he breathed. It was in the food that he ate. It was in the water, in the soil, on the light switches and door handles. The fear crept upon him at the oddest times and under the most mundane of circumstances, always without warning, and would tap him on the shoulder like someone wanting to push on through at a crowded bar. The fear cared not for the matter of his mood. He could be feeling on top of the world, or else feeling so down and dark that it was like being inside of a dank hole, and it would always find him. He was curious as to why no one else ever mentioned the fear, for surely they could see it just as plainly as he saw it himself. Or perhaps, like himself, they did see the fear, but were too afraid to mention it, too afraid of what would happen if they so much as twitched an eye when it would rise up out of nothingness and slowly engulf the room like a gray, boggy mist. Or perhaps he, and he alone, knew of it. There was no way to be certain, since no one ever mentioned it, and so how could he possibly bring it up as a topic for discussion without looking like some sort of an idiot? The fear was devious that way. He first noticed the fear soon after he got the writer's block, just before beginning work at the radio station, where he was employed as continuity director. It was a lofty title, which meant that he unpacked the reel-to-reel tapes containing the pre-recorded commercials that arrived daily from various ad agencies and recording studios, and checked them for any errors. He did this by spooling them onto a two-track tape machine and listening. It was tedious grunt work. However, once in a while, he would also be tasked with writing original copy for the station's clients who were too cheap to go to a professional studio, and so relied on the production department to record their spots. He enjoyed this, as he was a frustrated novelist, and it was his only creative outlet at the radio station. What he really wanted to do was be a novelist, or a music journalist like his hero, Lester Bangs, who wrote for Cream magazine, or like Nick Kent, who wrote for the New Musical Express back in the 1970s. Instead, he was working as continuity director at R100, WRFA-FM, Music Plus Commercials, in Atlanta, whose format was best described as hot pop adult contemporary urban country top 40 classic hit radio. An even better description would be the place where aging rock and pop songs went to live forever and ever in some calcified zombie heaven. Sometimes, when he was less restrained by the boring demands of the sponsor's message, he would go a little crazy and try to create humorous 30-second sketches, something fun and entertaining, as he knew that the boys in the production department also looked forward to flexing their creative muscles once in a while. As they were all frustrated comedians, with no real outlet to showcase their many vocal impressions of people like Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, Sean Connery, and Ronald Reagan. While these commercials were fun to do, they usually would only run overnights when ad rates were cheaper, or on weekends at a time when nobody really listened much to the radio,